Good morning, everyone. This is Bill Quigley.
This is Art Blanchett.
We're your mortgage experts from Capital Mortgage Advisors, and we welcome you to this week's edition of Your Home, Your Money. We're here live in the studio every Saturday morning to help you with your home financing needs.
And we are live this week, and we can be reached in conversation today at 321-1670. And off the air, that all-important number is 831-HOME, which translates to 831-4663. Our website is up and running. More changes, more information. Some great reports on there from Inman News in the industry. Great
Definitely.
Stuff.
Go to www.yourhome-yourmoney.com. And as we continue on with this For Sale by Owner series, go to www.yourhome-yourmoney.com/FISBO.
Right.
For up-to-date information on and podcasts of guests that have been here sharing their expert information.
Right, and this week is no exception.
This week we welcome attorney at law, Jessica Zerps. She's with the law office of Bell, Gerhardt & Moore here in Madison. Good morning, Jessica.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thanks for joining us. Now, we're going to continue on with our discussion of helping people sell their home by owner. And we thought it'd be a great idea to bring an experienced attorney on to help people understand some of the issues they may have with contracts and title and insurance and all the issues that are involved with buying or selling by owner. And we appreciate you coming in and sharing this information with
us. Yeah, anytime you can get free advice from an attorney, I think you got to tune in and listen to it. You know.
So whatever your legal questions are, you got a half hour to get some free legal advice. Call Jessica with your questions, 321-1670, *123 on your U.S. cellular phone.
That's all we can afford is a half hour.
Jessica, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of background on yourself, your education, and what brings you to your expertise here in real estate?
Okay. Well, I'm a transactional attorney at Bell, Gerhardt & Moore. I focus on three areas of law mostly, real estate, business, and divorce law. I focus on the drafting and negotiation of contracts, whether it's for a divorce, setting up a business, helping people incorporate, or real estate transactions where people are either buying or selling houses or investment properties.
Okay. So you got a wealth of experience as far as helping people with their transactions in real estate, whether they're on the buyer side or the seller side.
Absolutely.
You're a graduate of UW-Madison here?
Yes, I am.
Good for you. Well, let's start right in with a couple things. When someone's selling their home, by owner, naturally, a buyer sooner or later is going to come along with an offer to purchase.
Yes.
What do we need to be aware of when we're dealing with contracts in buying or selling real estate by owner?
You need to understand the contract more than anything, and you need to know what your intent is in the contract. If you are a seller, you want to make sure that the buyer who's coming into the contract cannot get out of the contract if you don't want them to. For example, when the buyer may come in with a financing contingency that may not even be realistic, so they would be able to get out of that contract at any time during the transaction if you're not careful and if you don't know the terms that should be in the contract.
Okay. So if Art's selling his home by owner.
Yeah, okay. Let's do that.
And I want to buy Art's home by owner, and I give him an offer to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, if you're representing Art mm-hmm. as you're going to review the contract, you want to make sure that I'm writing an offer or that he's not going to accept an offer that I can get out of.
Right. You're going to review his offer, right? He's going to write the offer.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't you really – and this is a good question. I think it is anyway. It's my question. Wouldn't you think that – now, we're writing an offer. That's different. But as much as possible, I should control as much of it as possible, the transaction. Do we use the standard forms when we do this for sale by owner, especially working with an attorney? I know otherwise we would use the standard forms. But do we do it with an attorney as well?
Yes, I usually use the WB-11, which is standard real estate form.
Okay.
And that's the form that all real estate agents use in the state mm-hmm. of Wisconsin. So if I'm going to present Art with an offer and I've got some ridiculous contingency that I – going to get financing at 4% or less, payments of $500 or less mm-hmm. within 3 weeks. And it's something you can advise the seller on, that this is not realistic. This is something you need to either just reject or counter.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then once you get an offer from, I give Art an offer, you can advise him on how to respond to that offer.
Yes.
If whether you don't agree with the price, or if you don't agree with certain terms within that are the way it's written,
mm-hmm.
you can just go ahead and advise him on how to do that.
Yes, we can. I can advise him as to what terms are reasonable. If, for example, a buyer comes in and they want, I don't know, 2 months to do an inspection, that's not reasonable because Art's going to be locked up in that contract for 2 months and another offer may come in. So I want things to proceed at a quick pace so that Art knows whether or not this buyer is really going to be a legitimate buyer or
yeah.
not, and whether he's going to be wasting his time on this area by this contract or
whether not. Whether he's a prospect or a suspect then.
Exactly. Okay. I want to make sure that you're protected and that the contract proceeds.
We're at Madison 1670, The Pulse. We have a call right now from Al, and we're going to go to Al here in a second. Where Al, how are you there?
Not too bad. You guys?
Hey, doing okay. Enjoying the cold?
Oh, man. I tell you, I used to have a water bed, but people gave me a little crap for having one because that's an 80s style version of a bed. But I had one. I gave it up, but I got I missed it. So I got a heated mattress pad. Works fantastic.
Okay. You know, you can always throw somebody in there with you. You know, that works too.
Yeah, I know. I got to find somebody first. Maybe your attorney here. I don't know. We'll see. Two questions.
Okay.
What's the number one pitfall from a seller's point perspective of for sale by owner? And I always tell the people I'm going to cover their closing costs. That means that I'm going to cover the cost of the title company, whatever they charge. What would be the legalese that I'd have to write in there? Because I'm just waiting one of these days. So I usually buy and sell new homes every couple of years. I'm waiting one of these days for somebody to come back to me saying, you said you'd cover the your closing costs. That means the bank's closing costs. I don't know exactly how would I word that.
Okay, Al, I'm having some problems with the system here. We're going to give you this answer off the air, okay?
Yep. Bye.
Right, thank you.
That's some good questions. So let's start with number one. What's the number one pitfall that a seller needs to be concerned about if they're selling their home by owner? That's pretty hard to narrow down what your number one pitfall would be. There could be dozens.
It depends how the offer is drafted. Every buyer comes in with a very unique offer, and it's a matter of looking at every single provision that's added to the offer and seeing if it's reasonable or not. And the financing contingency or different contingencies that are in, they could allow the offer not to go forward or to lock a seller up.
Okay. You think they just try and convolute things sometimes to protect themselves? Somebody's going to put something in that is not too obvious, but when you put all the pieces of the puzzle together, do you run into that?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. So. And if I'm representing the buyer, depending on what their intent is, I mean, I may be the one who's drafting that.
Mm-hmm.
And the seller may not even know that I drafted that offer, and I'm looking out for my buyer's intent, and I have weird stuff in the offer depending on what the buyer needs.
It's good to have a teammate. When you're going for sale by owner, you need somebody on your team.
Yeah. Definitely. So it's good to have, whether you're buyer or seller, it's good to have an attorney review the documents to make sure that you're getting what you want and that you're protected, whether
Absolutely.
You're the buyer or seller side.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's take a look at the second part of Al's question, closing costs. If he's going to pay the title insurance, where do you write that into an offer, and how do you word that so someone doesn't come back later and say, hey, you promised to pay all the closing costs.
Right.
What's going on?
You're
going
to want to be very specific in exactly what you're paying for. For example, you're going to say, I'm paying for the title insurance, and I'm paying for the closing costs that are associated with the transaction from the title company. You're not going to want a very loose, ambiguous term saying closing costs in general because, you know, somebody may misconstrue it, or you don't really want to fight about things. You just want it very clear, concise, direct, and so that you don't have to fight. You just have a transaction that goes from start to finish and you're done.
If you put something there where I'm going to pay all closing costs, I know a lot of people that could put a lot of costs in there that you'd have to pay.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, they'd have a 2% interest rate. Hey, we're talking to Jessica Zerbst, and she can be reached at 259-2301. Does that work for you?
Yep.
Okay, and we are going to go to break here in a minute. You're listening to WTDY Madison.
Okay, welcome back to Your Home, Your Money. Bill Quigley here along with Art Blanchett and our special guest, Jessica Zerbst from the Law Office of Bell, Gerhardt & Moore. Jessica can be reached at 608-259-2301. We're live in the studio. Get your free legal advice today, 321-1670 or *123 on your U.S. cellular phone.
Free legal advice while it lasts.
And we're talking about contracts. One thing that you mentioned earlier was a financing contingency. That's mm-hmm. something that we deal with on a daily basis, being in the mortgage industry, where the contract spells out a certain financing contingency date where the buyer's got to have his financing in place. What do you look for on the legal side? What are you looking for a financing commitment?
I want to make sure that the rate and the structure of the payment are reasonable. If someone comes in with a financing contingency where they are planning on having 100% financing, I'm interested in, is that going to be a 100% loan, which is a very difficult loan to get depending on your credit score, or if it's going to be an 80-10-10 or mm-hmm. an 80-20. I'm interested in the structure, and I want to make sure that the interest rates are in alignment with the actual interest rate that a person can get depending on the closing date.
Okay.
You know, if somebody does come in with that 4% financing contingency, I'm going to be very suspicious. And I'm also going to look at, you know, what is reasonable given today's market.
So if you're representing a buyer, you're going to make sure that there's no predatory lending going on.
Absolutely.
For the lender that buyer's working with.
And, you know, if someone does come in and say, you know, my mortgage banker or whatever said that I can only get 12 or 13%, I'm going to say, okay, well, my best advice for you is that you need to get other quotes.
That's when they need to call us.
831-4663. Absolutely.
So with this hand-holding, do you go to the closing or do they close at your office or do they close at the title office? How do you usually handle this, especially for a for sale by owner? Mm-hmm. How do you usually handle that?
I usually work with different title companies and I refer it to a title company to go to. Whether I go to the closing or not is dependent on the circumstances of the different transaction and how much a person wants to spend and how knowledgeable they are, their comfort level in the transaction. For very contentious transactions or transactions that are very quick and we haven't had a lot of time to review the closing documents, I'm usually there.
Okay.
On the other hand, if we can get the deed, if we can get the title commitment, all the exceptions, we can get the HUD before closing and it's a relatively easy transaction, I don't always go to it, but at the same time, I usually give my clients my cell phone number and say, okay, if something does happen, call me.
If you run into a bind, give me a holler.
Exactly. So, and it also depends on how much money a person wants to spend. Some people come in and they say, okay, I want to keep this as cheap as possible. I just want, you to advise me on the bare basics of the contract and tell me, what's reasonable given the market. And I can do that. Other people want to make sure that they are protected at every single step of in the way, and I can do that too. It depends on what a person's looking for from me.
You just mentioned a couple of documents, the deed, the title commitment, a HUD-1. Those are documents that most people probably really aren't familiar with.
No.
Now, let's kind of go back to title. How can you help someone by reviewing the title work? You can probably help them both on the seller and the buyer side.
Absolutely.
What do you look for in title to protect somebody?
When I am representing the buyer, I want to get a copy of all the exceptions to title, and I want to see the easements that are associated with the title. I want to see the condo association documents. If it's a condo, I want to see homeowner association documents. I want to see declarations. I want to see everything that's associated. I just recently had a client who came in and he was thinking about buying a house. He didn't know that, or he thought he was getting a really big lot and that there were no exceptions to it. We found out by pulling the title that the back lot had a 35-foot easement on it. And while he could still build things on there, he was also aware that if he were to build something, there's the potential the easement was for a utility company that they could make him remove what he built. And so as a result, he wasn't as interested in the property and it affected how much he was willing to pay for the property. So easements, they do matter and you need to be aware of them. It's not to say you're not going to want to buy that property, but at the same time, you need to be aware that
they exist. A lot of people just get
the title work and they throw it in the file with the rest of the closing documents and nobody looks at it. So.
No liens or judgments, just let's buy it.
Hey, it looks pretty good. So you're reviewing that. That's excellent.
Absolutely. And also, if you're buying a house or a condo or investment property and you're planning on renting it out, you want to look to make sure you can rent it out. I've seen many restrictions in neighborhoods or condo association documents that say this cannot be a rental. It has to be owner-occupied. You want to be aware of that depending on your intent of why you're buying this property.
Okay. We've actually had that case from a financing side once where someone wanted to buy a condominium as a rental property. When we got the condominium documents, we found out that you could not have rentals within this project because we reviewed the condominium documents from the mortgage side. And the buyer didn't know that.
Right.
And the seller wasn't aware of it either. So it definitely can be a catch-22 if you're not reviewing these documents.
Absolutely. It's important to review everything associated with the property when you're buying it.
Let's go in a little bit more into contracts. Can you help someone negotiate a contract? If I want to buy Art's house, but I don't want to really deal with Art, can you negotiate on my behalf?
I'm going to ask this question a little bit differently. I understand what a realtor can do and what an agent can do. They essentially, because of their training and because of their testing and because of their certification, they are allowed to a limited practice of law. Isn't that what drawing up that contract is? That's a limited practice of law. And, okay, good. I'm going to get an answer. I like it. She's rolling her eyes.
And I'm not rolling my eyes.
So it's a limited practice of law. So really what they're doing is you can't be everywhere at once. All right.
No.
So Nick, there's not enough of you out there to cover all this stuff. So they're allowed to do this, just the contract. But in reality, you're the person that they would go to. They would go to an attorney because you are really qualified to do this more than anyone.
Yes. No, I'm qualified to give the legal advice as to how this all works.
So how do you view the contract from the perspective of a realtor? Do they have limited law practicing abilities? That's what that entitles them to, right? Very limited.
They do have the ability to help a buyer draft a contract. They do have that ability as a realtor.
Okay. So that's all you're saying. And you're sticking to that.
We're at 321-1670. If you have any legal questions for Jessica, give us a call. Attorney at Law Jessica Zerps is here to answer your real estate questions. If you have any questions for her off the air, 608-259-2301. You're listening to Bill Quigley and Art Blanchett, your mortgage guys, your home, your money, on 1670 The Pulse. What if I want to hire you to negotiate for me?
It's a good idea to hire me to negotiate for it. I'm not emotionally involved in the contract, whereas a lot of buyers or sellers, they do get emotionally involved.
Don't they, though? Yeah, they fall in love with a place they don't even have a contract on. They haven't even arranged their financing, and they need some objectivity, I think.
Absolutely. And my job is to keep them on track and say, okay, is this in your best interest? Granted, you may want this house, but do you really want to spend $230 for a house that's only $200? I mean, do you really want to do that? I wouldn't recommend it. And I want to make sure that, I mean, in order for you to get the financing, you need to get it to appraise out properly.
Right. If you are offering too much, it's not going to appraise out.
No. And so I want to make sure that there's provisions in the contract that say that, you know, there's a requirement that there is a sufficient appraisal, that you are purchasing it for the correct price. I want to make sure that my buyer is protected and that you're thinking about things from a business point of view. Granted, there may be emotion, but there has to be business in this too.
We want them, we're the same way. We want them to love their house. We want them to fall in love with their house. But we don't want them to be silly alone. We don't want blind love here.
We
don't want them to regret the transaction a few weeks down the road.
Not at all.
Let's say that I make an offer to Art and he accepts it, but now he wants earnest money.
Mm-hmm.
Would you find what?
Lots of it, Bill.
Lots
in your case.
What is earnest money? And should I trust him with this check I'm going to write him?
Yeah. What happens to that thing? He's going to give me a check, all right? And he goes, okay, I'll settle for $1,000 earnest money. Can I go and put that? I can put that in my home account, right? I'm not a realtor. I'm just. I can do anything I want with it.
I guess I wouldn't do that, but but the advantage of having an attorney involved is that earnest money is a good faith payment showing that you are truly interested in buying this property.
Mm-hmm.
So as a buyer going to give a percent, I usually recommend that you give about 1% of the transaction. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less.
Oh, okay.
But you want to have it, you want to show your good faith that you're really interested in this property and that you're going to go through with it. The earnest money, when I'm involved, usually goes in my trust account. There's I don't charge anyone to put it in my trust account and just sits there until either closing, then the money appears at the closing company, or in the alternative, if the transaction does not go anywhere, once there's a mutual release and I'm given direction as to where the earnest money should go, whether it's back to the buyer because they got out of the contract because
of the contingency.
Right, it
didn't work out or whatever happened.
Or the seller because maybe the buyer just decided, I'm not going to do this transaction, and I realize I gave the earnest money. I don't have a way to get out of the contract. But so then perhaps it would go to the seller. It just depends on what happens in the contract.
Okay.
So if I give Art money, I could lose that money.
You could.
If I didn't draft my contract right.
You could.
And be careful.
You could have to sue him for that money that you should be entitled to.
I don't want
to
sue Art.
No. No, you don't, Bill. Okay.
We're at 321-1670. If you have any questions for Jessica Zerps, attorney at law, it's a great time to get some free legal advice. We're at Your Home, Your Money. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to Your Home, Your Money with Bill Quigley and Art Blanchett from Capital Mortgage Advisors. If you got any home financing questions, give us a call, 831-4663. But for the next 10 minutes, you have free legal advice with attorney Jessica Zerps from Bell, Gerhart & Moore. Jessica can be reached off the air, 259-2301, but for right now, she's at 321-1670 or *123 on your U.S. cellular phone. Now, we're going to take a look at if I'm selling by owner or if I'm buying by owner, there's certain professionals that have to be on board.
Yes.
Yeah, and who do you, in an average transaction, and I'm just interjected here, I'm sorry, who do you find is involved in this? All right, it's someone who's, they don't have a lot of money. Say it's an average transaction, meaning they're not rich people and they're not poor people. They're people that are buying, a $300,000-$400,000 house, let's say. That's a little bit above average, but to engage an attorney, that'd probably be a normal market for you.
No.
What do you find?
Last week I drafted an offer for someone who was buying a $115,000 house.
Okay.
So it's all over.
So there's value. There's value there then.
Absolutely.
Well, that's a lot of money. I mean, the small fee that you might spend on legal advice
you're
up
not
front
kidding.
Is could help you from a lot of heartache, especially if you get emotionally attached to the home.
And it was not an exotic property? It was just not an exotic transaction. It was pretty normal. All the rest of it was normal too.
They
just felt that you were the person they needed.
Yep. The buyers wanted to protect themselves. They wanted to ensure that they understood the provisions in the contract. They wanted to make sure that they knew exactly what they were getting. And for the couple hundred dollars that they paid me to aid them in the drafting of the contract, they felt it was well worth their money.
It is amazing. We see these contracts all the time. We do this all the time. And if you really looked at all this, line after line, the contract, 200 lines, 300 lines, it goes on and on and on.
And addendums.
Yeah. And it just, and we just blindly sign away $200,000-$300,000. Yeah, let's go for it. It makes sense to have somebody on your team. And again, especially if you're trying to sell a home yourself.
Definitely. Let's say I make an offer to Art. We agree on the terms. Now what's Art going to do? He's got to get title insurance.
He has to get title insurance. And he can go to various title companies where they can give him quotes on exactly how much the title insurance is going to cost. Most title insurance companies are somewhat comparable, but you want to make sure that they're going to do a good job for you, mm-hmm. that it's going to be a smooth transaction, that there's not going to be a lot of bumps in the road. And I can refer them to title companies that I've had really good experience with.
So guarantee as he as a seller is not going to be stuck with anything that isn't his. And as a buyer, I'm going to buy the house. It's my house, or mine, my lenders, and only.
Do you find people have disagreements about some little things? My first house, I was buying it from Florida and I was moving to upstate New York. And she had all these French doors in the basement. And they went for their bifold. There were double French doors throughout the house. It was an old house, an old Dutch colonial, but it was a nice house, a big house. And when I got up there, all this stuff is gone. And I got these louver doors, bi-level doors. And she'd replaced the chandeliers and stuff. But we hadn't specified this.
Exactly.
So we were at the closing table, and I had to hold my ground on something. So it was the chandelier. She had put some cast iron thing, and it was this beautiful two-tier candelabra pewter chandelier. It was missing. And fortunately, I had an attorney there. Mm-hmm. And we just negotiated this out, what was going to happen. And it was nice. But by myself, it would have been a very uncomfortable situation. It was uncomfortable enough, but it was nice to have somebody on my team. I have to admit that. But there were little things. Things disappeared because there were assumptions made on my part.
Exactly.
As the buyer, I assumed people were going to have the integrity that I thought they had. And I thought everything was going to be that I first saw when I got there, but it wasn't written down.
Well, let's look at the integrity of somebody selling a home. Let's say when you're selling a home, you have to fill out a form disclosing any defects that are known.
Yes, the real estate condition report.
And what if somebody forgets to just fill out that form, or maybe they forget to put something in, or they feel like, I'm not going to talk about that because that could hurt my sale. As a buyer, are you going to recommend that I get an inspector or somebody else to take a look at the home?
First of all, if I'm representing you as a buyer, I'm going to make sure we have the real estate condition report. It's going to be part of the contract. We're going to it's a requirement. I want the seller to disclose all the defects to me. Then after we get the real estate condition report, I'm going to my next recommendation is going to be that my buyers obtain an inspection of the house. Okay. Some buyers do, some buyers don't. Some buyers feel very comfortable with the house, but I'm going to always recommend that they do get an inspection from someone qualified to do that.
I mean, we've gone over the inspections before. There are things in a home that can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not even aware of it.
Yep. No, but recently I had a transaction where there was mold in the house.
Ooh.
And there was no way for my buyers to know that without the inspection. But because we had other contingencies in the offer, not only were we able to have the home inspection, but we were also able to have the mold tested to see the extent of it and to see how much money it would cost to cure the mold damage. So, I mean, those are very important provisions, and they're not provisions that are in a standard contract. They're provisions that you need to put in, and you only put them in if you have experienced stuff like this before.
Exactly. That's worth the small investment of getting legal advice and getting a home inspector.
Well, that I'm going to touch on some, because you said that phrase at the end, having experienced them before. When you first got into your practice, you were right out of law school.
Absolutely.
You'd done some internships and things like that. But you were exposed to a business that you hadn't been exposed to before in some ways. And so did you rely on others' experience? Did you have a mentor?
I did.
And then you learned, and they gave you some menial task. Okay, do this,
exactly.
And this. And so you learned, and then you had your own experiences too. And these are the things that you're sharing. So the longer that you're in your profession, the more you have to offer, essentially.
Absolutely.
Okay. And the laws change, and do you have seminars? Do you have to stay current?
Mm-hmm. We have to attend CLE's seminars each and every year in order to keep our license.
And you do. You're an experienced, you own real estate.
Yes,
you're
I do.
You're a real estate investor.
Yes, I am.
You own rental properties, so you have a good background in buying, selling, and managing.
Absolutely.
And you have a lot of clients that have used your services to help them buy and sell, not just single family homes, but other properties as well.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of things to look out for that Jessica can help you with. If you want to get hold of Jessica, you can catch her 259-2301. She's with the law offices of Bell, Gerhardt, Moore right here in Madison. And it could be a small investment could save you a lot of heartache and a lot of financial ache down the road. Now, what about financing? Who do you going to advise your buyer to get a certain lender, or you just say, go get your financing and let me look at your commitment?
That's a good question, Bill.
I have a general idea of what the market is for an interest rate. And if a buyer comes in and it looks like they are being quoted good rates and they feel very comfortable with their lender, I'm not going to touch that. On the other hand, if someone comes in with a rate that seems really high to me, I'm going to advise them that it's in their best interest. Maybe they like this lender, and that's great, but it's in their best interest to get a couple more quotes just to make sure that they're getting the best interest rate they can get. And not only that, but the best terms that they can get. There's so many different mortgage programs out there.
Oh, yeah.
That it's important to, you know, find out what is best with your situation.
You know, and I'm going to touch on this very quickly. I sometimes have friends and they're moving out of state, and they ask me about the mortgages that they're getting and so forth. And you know, if it's reasonable, I do the same thing. If it's reasonable and it looks like they're happy, I don't stir the pot.
Exactly.
I really don't stir the pot. And I say, yep, looks like you're getting a great deal. Because it's you don't want to upset them. They're moving, yeah. They're relocating, and you say, you know, this works. You're happy. Everybody's happy. Go for it.
Well, people call us after hearing the program and say, you know, I'm closing next week, and here's what I've got. Is this a good or a bad deal? And we always take a look at what they're doing and advise them, you know, you're doing fine. You're making a good move. Go for it.
I'm not going to unwind their deal for an eighth of or a quarter of a point even.
No.
You know, so if the package looks good, go for it.
Go for it. Definitely. Well, if you want to get a hold of Jessica, she's got some great experience to help out whether you're buying or selling by owner. Even if you have an agent, she can help you out and make sure you're getting the best deal possible. Jessica is with the law office of Bell, Gerhardt, and Moore right here in Madison. You can reach her at 608-259-2301. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you. Next week, we're going to continue our series on selling your home for sale by owner. We're going to welcome Karen Starrett, the area manager from First American Home Buyers Protection. Karen's going to help us look at the opportunity to use a home warranty system, not only to protect your home, but to also utilize that warranty to help you properly market and sell your home for sale by owner. So stay tuned next week, Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. Art and I will be back with Your Home, Your Money. Any questions for Art and I regarding financing, 608-831-4663. We thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Your station broadcasts more live and local talk from your city every day. Madison 1670, The Pulse.